Psalm 81. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph as a testimony, when he went throughout the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I did not understand. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were freed from the baskets. You called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, there shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with the honey from the rock I would have satisfied you. This is a beautiful, gentle, and terrifying psalm. The first couple of verses describes the sounds of worship, the sounds of God's people coming together on their appointed day. They are the sounds which delight God's ears, for they are the sounds of His praises. The days of complex rituals and religious calendars are over. They have ended. The days of worship, however, have not. For in the Old Testament, God had appointed days and places and rituals and practices that all the people must observe as they assembled together publicly for their worship. Everything was organized. Everything had a pattern to it. Everything had directions. Private and family worship were certainly expected and practiced, but God specifically organized the assembling of His people together for corporate worship. And God told His people all of these things, what to do, when to do it, where to do it, how to do it, because it would please Him by doing so. Now, God sent Joseph to Egypt. He sent Joseph ahead of all of the other people that were eventually to settle in Egypt. And Joseph certainly thought he was alone while he was in Egypt, and from Joseph's perspective we can understand why. He'd been sold as a slave and marched off to years of hardship before positive developments came about. But the plan that God had all along was a plan of a great redemption for His people. And when that time came for the redemption to be put into place, God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, "You let my people go, not for the sake of mere freedom, though that was important, but you let my people go that they might worship me, that they might gather together and worship me." Pharaoh didn't agree to that labor contract. He said no. But all the while, God was in Egypt with Joseph. He wasn't idle. He was busy. What was he doing while he was there? He was listening to the sounds the people made. The Bible describes God walking through Egypt and listening and hearing a language he did not understand. Now, we know that God is altogether wise, and there is no word that is outside of His comprehension. He understands every language. He understands every word. He understands every phrase. He's not ignorant of what's happening. The Egyptians were practicing a form of worship that didn't make sense to God. The people of Israel had not done as God had instructed them, which is one of the reasons God wanted to pull them from Egypt, so that they could worship God the right way. God was listening to the worship of all the people, and the Egyptians practiced some very strange kinds of worship. I can only imagine the sounds, the strange sounds made in Egyptian worship services. They worshipped animals, they worshipped Pharaoh, they worshipped the sun, and probably worst of all, they worshipped cats. Cats. Now, anyone who worships a cat must be making a strange sound indeed. So God saw the Egyptians, but he also heard the Egyptians. He heard the sounds of their worship. The God of all the earth knows who your gods are. The gods of all the earth, the God who made heaven and earth, knows who you worship. He knows what is the object of your worship. So we find in the middle of this psalm that God releases Israel from their terrible bondage of being slaves in Egypt. He heard their cry and he delivers them. He delivered them for the purpose of calling out a people all to himself that they might worship him the way he intended to be worshipped. However, after this great deliverance, in the middle of the wilderness, God decided to test his people to see if they would remember who it was that brought them out of their bondage, out of their slavery, and whether or not they would serve him with a whole heart. And he said he tested them, and they failed the test. They failed to remain faithful to God. In verses 8 to 10, we see some very tender instruction. God tells his people, I admonished you. I gently instructed you to correct and mend your ways. Israel had failed their loyalty test to God, but God had not abandoned them. He instructs them yet again to forsake all of their gods, to worship him, and to obey him with a whole heart. The first rule he wanted them to learn was put away the foreign gods from among your midst. Take all the gods that you hold in your heart and remove them and make them far from you. Do not worship them anymore. In fact, the very words that God uses to remind us on how important this is are these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Now, where have we heard those words before? Well, that's how the Ten Commandments starts, don't they? Ten Commandments, the preamble to the commandments, are, I am the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Why did he bring them out of the land of Egypt? Because Egypt was overpopulated? Because there was better land somewhere else? No, he wanted the people called out to worship. And that very first commandment he gave them was, you will have no other gods but me. Israel had failed the test and had again taken other gods to worship. Now, what happens next is really, really quite odd. God tells his people, after he tells them who he is and what he has done, he tells them to open your mouths wide and I will fill it. Now, mind you, these are the people that have given themselves over to idolatry by failing the test that he had set before them at Meribah. And God says, I will admonish you, I will instruct you. Remember these words. I delivered you. Now, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. When I read that, I thought, fill it with what? What's he going to fill your mouth if you open it wide? With himself. God wants you to put away the idols from among your midst so that he can be the Lord of your life and satisfy you as only he can. But unfortunately, the history of Israel is a history where we find people again and again returning to other gods, returning to the gods of their neighbors, of the other country, returning to the own idolatry that they can craft in their heart, and they return yet again. So these words remain true for us yet today. Put away the foreign gods from among your midst. Israel's sin of taking idols to itself was not merely one of preference. When you take idols of any kind and you make them the focus of your worship, you are repudiating God Himself. For He alone is the only true God. So in verses 13 to 16, God pleads yet again that His people would listen to Him and follow His words. God pleads and says, abandon your ways. Follow me. Seek me with a whole heart. God seeks to satisfy His people, not only from a great deliverance, from their bondage, but to satisfy every need of their heart by reigning and ruling over each of us. He offers them peace, redemption, a secure kingdom, a way of wisdom and satisfaction, all if you will only put away the idols and follow me. So, we look at this whole psalm, and it seems simple enough, doesn't it? What are we to take from this? You look back on history and you say, Israel made a lot of errors, and they did it again and again. I think I understand that. The errors of Israel are simple and straightforward enough. So, what's the point, right? Well, they're an example to us. They're an example that we should learn from their mistakes. Now imagine, if you will, thousands of years from now, hundreds of years from now, or maybe even next week, someone's looking through a chronology of the history of the Stillwater Reformed Presbyterian Church, and they happen to stumble upon somebody who wrote an account of Psalm 81, and they failed in the test at Meribah, and they decided to worship other gods and would not remain faithful to the Lord. And you would think, after they reviewed that lesson, well, it was simple enough. God was clear in His pleading and His admonishment. He said, follow me and put away your other gods. Somebody in the future might judge us just that very way. Why couldn't they learn their lesson? The children of Israel had a lesson set forth. They failed. God did not fail them. He put these words in the Psalter to remind us. It's always easier, isn't it, when we're looking at somebody else who should be learning the lesson and not ourselves. So the first thing we should do is to put away our idols. I hope you do not worship cats. That would be stupid indeed. But it would be just as stupid, or maybe almost as stupid, to worship other gods besides cats. There is only one true God. Recall that God has appointed a day of worship. In the opening of this psalm, we were told to sing and to shout and to make this great noise, told to remember there are new moons and feasts. Well, we had a full moon the other day, but that really doesn't determine when we gather. When do we gather? Right now, here. This is the appointed time and place of worship. Now is the time to remember what great deliverance God has made on our behalf, that we might sing and shout to Him. What does He require of us? To worship as He is instructed. Look to obey God. Remember the words, the preamble to the commandments. I am the Lord your God that brought you out of the house of death, of slavery, of bondage to the devil. I haven't been to Egypt. I wasn't brought out of Egypt. But I was brought out of death and was given life. I was saved by Jesus Christ, who took away all my sins. And now God says, you have been free. Worship me. Be called out from among the world. Assemble yourselves together, putting away your other gods, and worship me instead. Let's pray.